greet you in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. Be mindful of the Lord, to be reminded of who He is and what our responsibilities are, so that our hearts and our minds and our lives are expended honorably, and we have a fruitful and happy ending. I'm going to preach a message I preached a sentence or two ago, on people relating to technology, and I hope it can be a benefit to us. I read the book by Gary Miller on surviving the tech tsunami and got some help from him. When we think about technology, I'm going to be focusing primarily on communications. There's advances in technology in lots and lots of areas. But changes have been unbelievable and very fast. You know, Daniel talked about, in Daniel 12:4, it says, shut up the book and shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. that is what God talked about the time of the end. And we have certainly are living in an era when a time when people are running to and fro, and knowledge has increased. It's just phenomenal. knowledge has exploded in our day. If change and improvement would have happened in the auto industry like it did in communications, we would have cars traveling at 300,000 miles an hour and getting 2 million miles per gallon. That's how phenomenal the changes have been in the communications and knowledge sector. It may seem very, very strange, but the first iPhone was introduced in January of 2007, just yesterday. Seems like they've been with us a very long time. I would love to go back to before 2007, but I can't. And so here we are. And we're talking about technology in our day. And it's okay to be in our day. And in fact, it's just quite well. It's exciting and very acceptable to live in this time. Today we hold in our hands a computer far more advanced than what NASA used to put man on the moon. In fact, the captain of the first moon mission, when a computer spit out the information necessary for his mission to get to the moon, he said he would only go if a mathematician figured it out on paper and confirmed that the computer was correct. It was. It hadn't been that much earlier that they had figured out the mathematical formulas to get man to the moon. if you're on an orbiting, spinning ball, the Earth, how do you know when to leave and at what speed to be sure you hit that orbiting moon out there? You sure don't want to miss it. I have no idea how you would be able to calculate that properly, but you want to be right on. But they have been able to calculate that. And their math has been correct. Part of knowledge being increased. Those who think of technology and communications, it's extremely powerful, especially thinking about the smartphone. It's extremely powerful for good or for evil. It can be very beneficial and it can be very dangerous. And you might ask the question, why do we allow it? If we didn't allow the radio or the TV, well, I'm going to give you some suggestions why we do. Probably first of all, as much as we may not like it, it is here. It's integrated into our society. Secondly, it is a useful tool for business, and in some instances, it is nearly impossible to do business without it. Having some have phones and having others do not have the technology creates an unhealthy condition. Thirdly, the technology we have can be used very powerfully in a good way. Fourthly, why do we allow it? To forbid is its use is to fail to understand its availability and draw, and leaves us unprepared and open to its devastating evil and power. It is better to give guidelines to control it than to forbid it, and then, of course, not give guidelines. Church groups who just say no to technology are much more likely to have a serious problem with it than those who address its dangers. That's not to say we should just relax about it. Not at all. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 and 14, you're very familiar with these verses, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." So, the temptation you're going to face is going to be no different than anybody else's. But he didn't say, therefore, it's going to be okay. He said, therefore, flee from idolatry. Because we're facing temptation, we are going to flee from it. We're going to recognize we face threats, and we're going to flee from those there, from sin. Flee from it. When the use of computers was an issue, instead of trying to keep my children away from computers and their dangers, I decided to try to have them familiar with them and safe. I believe that eventually my children would have to use them. I could have done much more good for my children. I should have stayed closer to them. I know some things happened that shouldn't have happened, but God was merciful to us. I'm convinced that every parent will always be able to say, I could have and should have done more for my children. And so you do what you can. You be genuine. You be honest. Sincere and devoted to God, and He will be with you. Relating to technology, what would Jesus say? What did Jesus say? I'm going to look at three verses from Jesus as we relate to technology and how we need to view it. And the first is in Matthew 16, verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The Christian life, self-denial is central to the Christian life. It has not become easier. That standard has not become easier or changed in the modern era. We must deny ourselves. And if we're not prepared to address that, we will, it's central. And it's important that we do. If there's no self-denial, there will be no victory. And so that's as it relates to technology as well. If you can't control it, then put controls on it, because we need to exercise self-denial in these areas. The third verse, the second verse I want to look at is in John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Christianity involves a change of heart. And if you don't have a change of heart, there is nothing I can do to keep you safe with the technology around you. I can make all kinds of rules, I can preach all kinds of sermons, but if you don't have a change of heart, there's nothing I can do to keep you from it. So there needs to be a change of heart. If you want to enjoy the world, you can. It is not our job to keep people who love the world from the world. But it is our responsibility to keep the young and the weak from the dangers of the world. So embrace godliness, not world-likeness. Affect the change of heart in your life. That foam will wrap chains of sin around your soul if you don't have a change of heart. So, yes, except the man be born again, there needs to be a change, there needs to be repentance, there needs to be a change of life, a change of mind for us to overcome and be victorious in these areas. Otherwise, there will be failure. And thirdly, from the words from Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33, He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And again, here we need to seek the Lord. We need to apply ourselves to seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is not something that just happens as you roll through life. Seeking the Lord is something that you put effort into. We need to apply ourselves to seeking the Lord. God told, speaking through Jeremiah, said, "Ye shall seek me and ye shall find me if ye search for me with all your heart." And we need to seek the Lord. We need to apply ourselves to seeking the Lord. When Daniel was talking to Belshazzar, he said, "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" How many Belshazzars do we have sitting in this auditorium this morning where we don't recognize what God is doing for us? We've lifted ourselves up against the Lord, and we don't recognize that God is the one that's giving us our very breath, like Daniel said, "And whose are all thy ways?" We recognize God has given me my breath. God has given me all these gifts. And then we glorify Him with our life. That needs to be our approach to life. That we seek Him first. There needs to be a change about this. Why do they call it an iPhone? What a name. But this thing that centers around me. There needs to be a change in our attitude and our approach, and we dare not center our life around myself. We need to center our life around the God in whose are all thy ways. We don't have to. We can ignore Him, and yet we can't ignore Him, because we will stand before Him and we will answer to Him. And Daniel told Belshazzar, "Because you have ignored God, your days are numbered." And that night, the kingdom, his life was taken, and the kingdom was taken from him. So Jesus would say there needs to be self-denial, there needs to be a change of heart, and we need to seek after the Lord first. What would Paul say as it relates to technology? What does Paul have to say about technology? I want to look at a number of verses here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, quite a few verses in fact. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." There are young people who are going to thrive spiritually. There are young people who are going to stumble and fall spiritually. This phone is not the determining factor. It's how you relate to God and what your attitude is toward God as to whether these things are going to destroy you or not destroy you. So respect your elders and have a heart after God so that you, as a young person, are going to be, yes, determined that you're going to be an example of the believers in every aspect of life. And God will be with you. And you can be a thriving, successful follower of God in our generation. There is nothing to hold you back. Paul continued on in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. And he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Pay attention to doctrine or to teachings. Pay attention to the word being preached. Pay attention to reading. Now he's probably referring to public reading, but you need to pay attention to reading. Reading the word of God. Determine that you are going to intake of God's word. Save yourself, Paul would say. Determine that you're going to have intake of God's word. We need that to help us to think right. Yes, we need it to help us to think right. And as inconvenient and as hard as it may be to get that Bible read, you can do it. You certainly can. So, read the Bible. Determine that you're going to allow this message that God wrote to you to impact your life because you need it. And it is so, it helps you to focus your life on the things that are important. In Titus 1 verse 7, what would Paul say? "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a striker, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." But that phrase there, that phrase found twice in that passage says, "not given to." That phrase, "not given to," is defined as not staying near. You know, there are some people that they have to have something near to them. And what he describes here as having near to them is not given to wine. They have to have wine near to them. And it says not given to filthy lucre. Money. They have to have money near to them. Those two things are important, but they disqualify. They were addicted to wine. They were addicted to money. And that is of course bad. We need to be sure we are not addicted to not only wine and not only money, but to the influence of our phones and that technology. We need to be sure that we do not become addicted to them. Not addicted. All right, fourthly, in Titus 1 verse 13, Paul is talking about the Christians, and he says, "This witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Rebuke them sharply. Yes, that's what he said. Rebuke them sharply. We need to be open to sound advice and direction. We need to be able to let people give us sound advice and direction. We need to be open to it. And when somebody tells us things about what we should or shouldn't do, it shouldn't offend us. No. Just like the Christians need to be open to sharp rebuke. We need to be open to direction. Again, right there in Titus 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul said, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and in every good work, reprobate." Unto the pure, all things are pure. We need to refuse to let our mind and conscience be defiled. There's a lot of defilement out there. We need to refuse to let our mind and conscience be defiled. And when that pressure comes in, we need to address that and refuse it. Again, in Titus 2, verse 6, talking to the young men, he says very simply, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Sober-minded. What does he mean by sober-minded? Sober-minded is defined as to curb one's passions. Self-control. To curb one's passions. And so, young men, there it is. You have passions. You have ambitions. And they're not all wrong. But he says you need to curb them. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Curb your passions. Rein them in. Control yourself. You just can't let those passions, those desires run wild. They need to be curbed. That's part of being young. Part of the Christian life is curbing your passions, bringing it into subjection to God always. He talks about it again in Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. I'm not sure if we read this verse or not already this morning. But so, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Here, he says, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. We need to be willing to deny ungodliness. Just not play around with it, but deny it. And not only that, he says, denying ungodliness and worldly desires. We all have worldly lusts. We all have worldly desires. What should we do about them? Deny them. That's what Paul said. You need to deny them. Don't feed them. Don't let them run wild. Identify them, label them, and deny them. Denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Slipped in some advice from James, so not to trip you up. But in James 5, verse 5, he says, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton." Now, it's not God's desire to take away all of our pleasure. That's not His desire. The Christian life is not devoid of pleasure. Not by any means. The Christian life is filled with many things that bring us pleasure and satisfaction. But here, He's talking about, He says, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth." We see a picture of someone whose goal was to experience pleasure. The pleasures that the world offered. And he talked about the judgment that was going to come upon those that lived that way. Living for pleasure is not our goal in life. If it is, it will destroy us. We need to remember the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, and honor God with our life. Continually bring ourselves back to honoring God with our life. And not decide we are going to live in pleasure. And as we honor God, He will fill our life with things that will Yeah, the Christian life is not a life that is just devoid of pleasure. No, it's actually the sinner who starts off experiencing the pleasures of sin and lands up in the chains of those pleasures. It's all out there in the world. The chains of those pleasures. And then lastly, what Paul has to say, we are a people who have turned away from idols, turned away from the world to serve the living and true God. We have made a turn from the idols and from the things of this world, and we are serving the living and true God. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. For they themselves show unto us, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that needs to be the testimony of those that see our life. That is an individual, and here is an individual who's turned away from serving idols and from living for this world to serve the living and the true God. That needs to be what individuals say as they look at our life. And of course, it needs to reflect that change in our life. So technology, let's just pause a little bit and look at the problem of technology, the problems that it gives. One of the problems with this technology that we have is this constant presence. It's just constantly with me. I don't have it on me this morning. I love it when I can go to church and not have that thing in my pocket or beeping or tweeting and all that stuff. It's wonderful. Not to say maybe I should bring it to church, but anyway, I'm just glad and hope it doesn't cause anybody a problem. But it's that constant presence. It's always with us. I get out of the truck, and sometimes I don't think to take it along, and I let it in the truck and get back, and I'm sorry, I didn't have it with me. I'm sorry, you know. Why do you have to do that? Why do you always have to have it with me? But anyway, that's part of it. We aren't made for this, really. We aren't made for this. But this is where we are. That's not how it's supposed to be. But this is how it is. And as Christians, we can be overcomers still. One of the problems with this technology is the distractions. The distractions. You want to go to the phone and check for whatever you want to do, and then you're like, oh, but look at that. And then, oh, but look at that. And then, oh, but look at that. And you spend 50 minutes there looking at all those things that have been beeping and bopping since the last time you saw it. And you're only going to be there for 5 seconds. It just has so much on it that can... It's not always distracting. Sometimes it's important. Sometimes it's informative. And all those other things. Sometimes you're just glad to hear from somebody. You know, all those things. But it's all those things that are on that phone that can just go. I suppose you've gone all day. I suppose. I hope not. But I suppose you've gone all day with all these distractions that come along. And that's not good, all these distractions. The bing, the ping, the ring, and on it goes. And we develop an attention span of 15 seconds. And that's not good. We need to be able to think. We don't have to have something distracting us. We can't even carry a train of thought. You know, that's not good. So we have these distractions. I'm going to talk about social media and the negative impact of it. We ask our people to stay away from it, stay off of it, and I'm glad we do. Social media has a lot of negative impacts. I'm not saying that social media is always bad and always has bad outcomes, but social media, and not that I know much about it, this is because I've read about it. I've never been on social media that I know of and have no desire to, but people on social media, they create their own community, those who agree with you, and if you have a problem with them, what do? You just take them off. Which can be a problem. Just taking them off, because life isn't like that. That you can just, if you don't like how things are going, you can just take them off. We must relate, we have to relate to real people. And that's good. It's not bad to have to relate to real people. And when you relate to real people, it's nice to get along with them. And so you need to learn some of these skills of how to get along with people that might disagree with you. And that's a good thing. You can't just press a button and get them out of your life. And that's good. But we can't have that as the answer to somebody we don't like. The only answer. We must relate to real people and learn how to get along with those whom we disagree with, so we can have, it's very, very good, very, very important. The more time you spend on social media, they tell me, the more likely you will be lonely. That's interesting, isn't it? The other problem with social media is the question, why isn't my life like their life? Look at their life. Look at the life they're living. That's just a fantastic life. Well, and so we have this. Mine is so dull, and I wish I could live their life. And we have these reflections. Well, they put the best pictures on. They put the best experiences on in life. They don't plaster all over their worst experiences. Yeah. Their life isn't that much different than yours, I'll assure you. And they have difficult times too, just like you. Well, again, not that I know that much about social media, but those are some problems that we have. One of the problems of technology, the phones and stuff, is games, bad games. Not all games are bad. Not that I ever played games on the phone. But not all games are bad. It's easy to... but we've chosen to avoid games. I'm very glad for that. I say games, it goes to a lot of different factors there. Social media or phones and such like are used to babysit children. The more you entertain children with electronics, the more bored that they get. Electronic reality produces stimulation real life cannot compete with. You know, that electronic reality, whatever it is, it's always there, keeping you excited, keeping you... And then you shut it off, and then... Now I'm back to boring, dry life. Don't get caught up in those things. And you'll find out that life, you had better get studied up on it, because life is going to be a whole lot more interesting than you ever planned it to be. Get prepared. One of the problems with technology is the waste of time. It's just, like I talked about already, you can get started on it, and then after a while, it's and after a while, time just keeps on clicking away, clicking away, clicking away. And it's not that all time on there is wasted, but it's easy to spend time on there that we just shouldn't, or it'd be best if we weren't on there. Now, another factor we have is the news, and not that news is wrong. News is certainly not wrong, but you can spend a lot of time. There's endless amount of news out there, and you don't have to know everything about everything. Okay. So these are all things that can be a problem. Another factor is false doctrine out there. There's lots of false doctrine out there that we can get a hold of, and we need to be careful about that. Be careful what we're listening to. We can get involved in sports. We don't want to get involved in sports. It's not a program that is going to lift us up to heaven. It's going to fill up our time with useless things. Not that sports are so extremely evil, but it absorbs us and takes up time that should be spent in better things. We could get involved in movies. We don't want to get involved in movies. Don't. Stay away from them. You can have the excitement of comedians. Just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I would say the worse the society gets, the more comedians they have, because they need something to laugh at to get their minds off their problems. We don't want to get our minds off of our problems that way. There are better ways to work on it. Of course, another problem with this technology is pornography, and I think I read somewhere that 40% of internet usage is pornography related. I hope that's not true, pornography is a problem, and if you're struggling with the sin of pornography, if you're struggling with this sin, you're not alone. You're not alone, and you are not uniquely different than other people, but it is something that is very, very wrong, and you need to get help. And so get some help. Talk to somebody. Take some action to get yourself out of this very, very unwholesome problem. Join an accountability group, and you can have complete victory with that. But don't just try to get victory by yourself. Talk to your brother or somebody about it. Please do. They'll understand. And they'll help you. It'll be tremendous help to you to overcome. And they'll help you. And yes, you can have complete victory. You don't need to be. You don't want to be stuck in that filth. Horrible place to live. Another problem with the technology is music. You can get all kinds of music on that phone of yours and just, put those, whatever they have that you put in your ears, and nobody knows what you're listening to. And it's not that you're necessarily trying to keep people from listening, but you can walk right past your parents listening to music that is not right, and they don't even know it. Okay? Music. Music, you need to be careful with your music. You need to determine to make your music that which will build up your spiritual man. Okay? There's no use having input that is not going to be spiritually upbuilding. There's plenty of music out there that can be upbuilding. Make it that way. By all means, don't start putting music in your head that is going to tear you down spiritually. What a ridiculous thing to risk the glory of heaven for some sound in your ears. Wrongful words. What about music with wrongful words? Is that okay? Of course not. Wrongful words are not acceptable, whether they're just said or whether they're said with music. This doesn't make it okay, because you like the music and the words aren't good. You don't want to ever listen to wrongful words. So if the words aren't right, don't listen to it, no matter how much you like the music. What about wrongful music? Good words, but wrongful music. For example, rock music. Rock music with any words, no matter how good they are, is unacceptable. The music is wrongful. The music itself is leading you in a wrong direction. Be careful about it. Your music, is it nurturing the flesh or that which is sensual? Cut it off. Music matters. Music molds. Music moves your practice. Let me say it again. Music moves your practice. How you live, the music changes that. And if you have music coming in there that is not good, it changes you. Music bonds you to the performer. Therefore, be careful who you're listening to, what kind of person they are. Guard your music. Choose your music carefully. Make your music push you to God. And lastly, in relation to music, just respect your elders and the church standards. Yeah, respect your elders and the church standards. Do you know why God said you should do that? Because it's a real help to you. That's why He said it. So, do that. Respect your elders and the standards of the church. Okay, success with technology. Success with technology. Surround yourself with people who care about your success with technology. Technology is a force. It's a presence that's around us that is we're very close to it. It can be very, very powerful means to destruction, and we're very close to it. And so we need to surround ourselves with people who care about my success with technology. You know, technology is very personal, it's very private, and it's very dangerous. And so we're going to have to, you know that. Therefore, be aggressive about experiencing victory. You know that. You know that technology is very personal and very private and very dangerous. Therefore, be aggressive about experiencing victory. Don't be casual about it. Know your enemy and prepare for success. Have an Ezra response to failure. What was his response? He's like, horrifications! We're experiencing those things that are evil in our midst. And he sat down on that pile of ashes and he plucked his beard and he wrenched his mantle and he said, we have a problem. Have an Ezra response to failure. Don't condone it or accept it for 1 minute. Make it a serious matter. Secondly, protect your success with the technology. Protect yourself with accountability so that your activities are reported. And tell people, ask me how I'm doing. Ask me about it. Is that okay? Can we ask you about it? Whether we do or not, God knows. So be open. Put filters in place to help you. This technology is not for children. It's only for the mature. So parents, set up programs which you can control and monitor your older children's phones. Don't just give phones to people, children who are not prepared for them. Limit your time. You may ignore your phone. You may. There was somebody talking with President Bush, and I don't know what they were talking about. I just remember reading it or listening to it sometime. He was talking with President Bush, and his phone rang. And he completely ignored it, and he continued to dialogue with this person. It wasn't that he was an extremely important person, but he continued to dialogue. He was the President of the United States. He knew what for phone call he was getting. He didn't let that disrupt his civil communication with this person. You know what? You may do that too. We want to be responsible with our phone. People need to get a hold of us. Maybe we want to be responsible with our phones, but you know, it's different. You know, when that phone was on the wall and it rang, we always answered it. And I kind of had that mentality. You always answered your phone, but not anymore. That thing doesn't have to be addressed every time it thinks it needs my attention. No, we do want to be responsible so that people can get a hold of us. And yeah, I'm going to do my best to do that, okay? But I do not intend to let that thing, whenever it says jump, make me jump. Okay. limit how much consumes you. Don't take your phone to the supper table. That 20 minutes is, you can do that. It's okay. You don't have to have it. Set it down. It's right to set it down. And, okay, last, be successful with technology. Read the Bible intentionally. This device is always putting things in our mind. You read the Bible intentionally. Let its truths organize and focus your thoughts. Spend time in prayer. Meditate. Have some time for peace and quiet when that device is not pushing in. And worship God. Privately, worship God collectively, intentionally. We're in a battle. You have an enemy of your souls. That enemy is inside that device in your pocket. Okay? And so we need to intentionally do things to make sure we're not captured by him. And one of those things we can do intentionally is to participate in worshiping God collectively. Yes. Take advantage of the strength of brotherhood. Brotherhood is not a drag to your spiritual life. If it is, you're looking at it altogether wrong. Brotherhood is a strength to your spiritual life. Brotherhood is a blessing. And we work together. And all of you are contributing to my well-being in one way or another. I'm glad we have a plural ministry where we have others to help us on the way. And I can't tell you how many times I've been grateful for the contribution of Daniel as we make these decisions about the congregation and his contribution. It's just, I'm so glad. You know, he's not the same as I am. Isn't that wonderful? What if we would have two of me in charge? Whew. So I'm very glad for, yeah, the contribution of brotherhood. The blessing of godliness can thrive in the midst of the technology of our day. The blessing of godliness can thrive in the midst of the technology of our day. It can. Paul said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That can be our experience. And we, as a brotherhood, are here to help you in that. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. We do not need to fail in the tests which we are facing in our generation. And so, let's be faithful. There are not new answers to old problems. What did Jeremiah say? "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We can find rest for our souls, but we need to choose to walk in the old paths that God has laid out for us. And we need to not do like they did when they said, we will not walk therein. God bless you as you live in this generation and relate to the technology that is all around you. Let's kneel for prayer.